good portion of this chapter. This is an important historical event. It's not just a nice story. It has huge significance throughout the history of the world. Its significance is important to the plan of God, to the redemption of mankind, the impact that it has on God's chosen people. It goes back to the very promises of God that in Abraham all the world would be blessed, including you and me in the year 2017. So this is not an insignificant passage. We're going to begin reading in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 22. Let's stand together, please. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." We know from James that God doesn't tempt anyone to evil. God does not tempt us to sin. The idea here is that he tested Abraham and said unto him, "Abraham." And he said, "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Can you put yourself in Abraham's shoes? "Abraham, take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him on an altar, a burnt offering." Wow. What a command. Verse 3, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning." He didn't wait around. He didn't question God. He simply, the next morning, got up and obeyed and saddled his, what we would use the word donkey today, I'll just use that term, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh is a name for God given here, and it means the Lord will provide, or the Lord will see to it. Verse 15, it says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." God had made Abraham a promise. "I will give you a son, I will make of you a great nation, and in thee shall all the people of the earth be blessed." And Abraham calls the name of this place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see to it. What God promises, he will do. He will provide. The title of my message this morning is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Father, I pray that you bless your word. May you encourage, strengthen, challenge us, your people, here this morning. May you use me, but may your word be seen. May your truth be evident. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a story told, not true, but a story told of a man who is walking along a narrow path, not paying much attention to where he was going. Suddenly, he slipped. He slipped over the edge of a cliff. As he fell, he grabbed a branch growing from the side of the cliff. Realizing that he couldn't hang on for long, he called out for help. And he cried out, "Is anybody up there?" To his surprise, somebody answered there. He heard a voice say, "Yes, I'm here." The man was a little taken aback and not realizing he'd get such a quick answer, such a quick response, and he said, "Who's that?" The voice responded to him, "It's the Lord." The man, "Well, that's great," you know, thinking he'll be able to save me. And he says, "Lord, help me." And the voice says, "Do you trust me?" The man replied, "I trust you completely, Lord." He says, "Good. Let go of the branch." The man, "What? I said, let go of the branch." Silence. There was a long pause, and the man finally said, "Is anybody else up there?" Now we go from the silly fantasy to real life. How much do you trust the Lord? When he commands you to do something, how much do you trust the Lord? Maybe he commands you to do something that's seemingly impossible. How much do you trust the Lord? Maybe you're going through a trial, a difficulty in your life, a test. How much do you really trust the Lord? The Bible tells us that we will be tested. We will be tried. As I mentioned, James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse or different temptations, that is, trials, testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Here we find Abraham being tested. Look with me at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham." What is it talking about when it says it came to pass after these things? We have to go back and we have to think about what it was that led up to this event, what it was that led up to this test. If you would, flip back to, with me to Genesis chapter 15, just a few pages back. In Genesis chapter 15, God had called Abraham out of the place where he lived, Ur the Chaldees. And actually, we need to go back to chapter 12, I'm sorry. And it tells us in verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram," or Abram at this time, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee." And notice God says to Abram, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Abraham, at this time, when God makes this promise to him, what we call the Abrahamic covenant, is already 75 years old. But there's a problem. Look back at chapter 11, verse 30, just up a few verses. "But Sarai, was barren. She had no child." So here's Abraham. God promises, "I'm going to make of you a great nation, and through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." He's 75 years old with no child. How is that supposed to happen? Look at chapter 15 and verse 1. Chapter 15. So Abraham goes a period of time and still there's no child. It's like, "God, you made this promise. How are you going to fill this promise in my life?" In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless?" He still has this in his mind. "Lord, you made some promises, but I'm childless." Look at verse 3. "And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." Maybe one of my servants, one of these children that are born in my house, in my home, is my heir. Abram's already starting to think, how can I help God fulfill his promises? See, how much do you trust God? Maybe you think God needs a little help. Maybe you're going to try to do things your way and in your timing. So Abram suggests, maybe the one born in my house is mine heir. Verse 4, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Abram, you're going to have descendants. You're going to have many, many children, as the stars of the heaven, as the sands of the seashore. But there's a problem. He still has no son. Oh, maybe somebody from my home, one of my servants, one of these children could be my heir. And God says, no, he'll come forth from your own bowels. Well, we come to chapter 16 and verse 1. How old was Abraham? He was 75, many years later now. Verse 1, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. We still have a problem. We still don't have a son. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, an Egyptian, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And then in verse 16, Abram was 80. That's 86 now, when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. God, you made promises. How is God going to fulfill his promises? And so Abram thinks, I need to take matters into my own hand. And now Abraham is 86 years old. And then we have chapter 17. It says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, now he's 99 years old, Ishmael would be 13. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. In verse 15, it says, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And so here we have finally a son. Finally, God promises you're going to have a son. But does Abraham laughs at this. Sarah laughs at this. But then in chapter 21, we come close to our text. In chapter 21, verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. So now we have Isaac. Finally, Abram's now 100 years old. And Isaac is finally born after 25 years that God had promised Abram a son. And I will make of thee a great nation, God had told him. And then you have the problem with Ishmael, and Ishmael and Hagar are cast out of into the wilderness. And then we come to chapter 22, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Is God going to fulfill his promises? Is God going to provide for him? Well, finally, after 25 years, God provides a son. Came to pass after these things that God tempted Abraham, and he says to him, I want you to offer your son, your only son, and take him and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. In verse 5, it says, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. What I want you to notice here is that as Abraham goes, he obeys God. All these years, He was wondering, is God going to provide? Is God going to take care? Is God going to fulfill his promises? He took matters into his own hands. He wasn't sure of what God was going to do. And finally, God provides a son. And then he says, I want you to take your son. And this is probably years later. Probably is some scholars think that Isaac would have been a teenager at this time. Some scholars think he might have been as old as 37 years old. The terms in the text, lad and the boy, actually refer to a young man. We don't really know how old he was. He obviously was old enough to carry wood. Miles. This is a three-day journey, probably about 50 miles from where they lived to Mount Moriah. And so they're journeying to this place, and God says, I want you to sacrifice your son. And it's like, what? That doesn't make sense. How is God going to fulfill his promises? But look with me, I want you to notice something in verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham, by this point, had learned his lesson. He knew that somehow God was going to take care of this. He knew that somehow God was going to provide and fulfill his promises. And that is the first thing that I want us to see here, is that God provides everything necessary to fulfill his promises in our lives. Abraham didn't know what was going to happen. We had the advantage of knowing the end of the story. He didn't know the end of the story. But he says to these young men, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And the idea is, and we're going to go and we're going to come back again. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So from the text in Hebrews, it seems that maybe Abraham thought, well, I'll offer him on the altar, and then God's going to raise him from the dead. God somehow is going to provide everything necessary to fulfill his promises. He completely and fully trusted God. God will provide everything that's necessary to fulfill his promises in our lives. That doesn't mean our lives will be easy. It doesn't mean our lives will have no problems. But God will fulfill his promises. What God says he will do, he will do. As a parent, have you ever made promises to your children that you didn't keep? Maybe you've made a promise, and I see some teenagers looking at their parents like, yeah, you've made some promises you didn't keep. I saw that. What happens, though? We make promises, and then we forget. Or it's just not possible for us to keep those promises. Something else comes up. There's a conflict. But God provides everything necessary to fulfill his promises. He did so in this case with Abraham. He says to Abraham, I'll make of thee a great nation. And for 25 years, Abraham waits for a son. In the meantime, he tries to take care of it himself. But God provides everything necessary to fulfill his promises. And I believe we see here that Abraham, finally, he passes this test. He recognizes that God will provide. Look down with me at verse 6. As we continue in our text, it says that Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Put yourself in Abraham's shoes. Here you're going to obey God's command to sacrifice your only son, that God had provided in fulfillment of his promise to make of you a great nation. And here you are going to obey this command, and your son asks you, well, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice? What are you going to say? Verse 8, and Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Secondly, not only does God provide everything necessary to fulfill his promises, God provides everything necessary to guide us through our trials. Abraham didn't know how this was going to turn out. He's just obeying God. This had to be a difficult situation. You're a parent. Your only child. God has said, go sacrifice him as a burnt offering. How can I do that as a parent? How difficult must that have been for Abraham? And yet, he had the trust that God would help him through this difficulty. That God would provide for him through this difficulty. As we saw in the text in Hebrews, maybe God was going to raise him from the dead. But he says in verse 8, God will provide himself a lamb. God promised him a son. 25 years later, by some miracle, God gave him a son. He has raised that son, and God tells you to go sacrifice him on an altar. But Abraham understood that God would provide through this difficulty, through this trial, through what God was asking him to do. He trusted God. God will provide himself a lamb. We go through difficulties. We go through trials. We try to handle it ourselves. We try to take care of it ourselves, or we feel like maybe we can't get through it. But God is faithful. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verse 12, Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But God will put us through tests. He will put us through trials. But God provides everything necessary to guide us through those trials. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1, verse 6, Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, God provides everything necessary to guide us through the tests of life. He gives us tests. Why? To help us grow, to test our faith, to see if we really trust him. And Abraham realized, you know what? God, I finally learned the lesson. God will provide to fulfill his promises, and God will provide through the trials and the tests of life. In James, in the passage that talks about that, he gives us trials that to try our faith.
But then he goes on to say, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You see, when we go through the difficulties and we go through the trials and we go through the tests that God puts in our way, he's not going to just rescue us from our problems. He's not going to just deliver us from those tests, but he'll give us the strength. He'll give us the wisdom. He'll give us the guidance that we need to get through those trials and those difficulties. And some of those tests we will fail. Abraham didn't pass all the tests. Thankfully, he finally learned his lesson. He finally learned to trust God. He finally learned that God will provide.
And so too, we must learn that God will provide everything necessary to fulfill his promises. And God will provide everything necessary to guide us through our trials and tests. And lastly, God provides everything necessary to secure our salvation. Look at verse 9 in our text. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. We see in this passage, we get to the theological lesson of this passage. Yes, we can trust God through our trials, but that's not the main purpose of this text. Yes, we can trust God to provide to fulfill his promises. Absolutely. But most importantly, we see the theological emphasis of this passage. As God provides a ram there caught in the thicket, and Abraham sacrifices this ram as a substitute sacrifice for his son Isaac. You see where this is going? You see the theological theme all through this text, and I want us to walk through it a little bit here and kind of see some of these parallels. As we get to the New Testament, as you know, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is our substitute. He is the sacrifice for our sins. We see many parallels and the theological lessons through this text. If you look with me at verse 2, Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2. And he said, Take now thy son, God speaking to Abraham, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Does that ring any bells for anybody? Probably not. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1, it says this, Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah. So God had Abraham travel to where he was living, 50 miles to Mount Moriah. Why there? Because that's where Jerusalem was going to be built. That was a place later on where David purchased the land for that threshing floor. And later on, as we see here in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1, it was the location of where Solomon built the temple. And what took place in the temple? Sacrifices. Lots and lots of sacrifices. And what was the purpose of those sacrifices? To point to the ultimate sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the very fact that Abraham was traveling 50 miles to go to a place to sacrifice his son is significant. It has theological ramifications. You see, God provides not only everything necessary to fulfill his promises,
and it may take years and years and years. God provides everything necessary
to guide us through our trials and difficulties of this life, but God provides everything necessary to secure our salvation. Look at verse 2 once again with me. There's something else here I want you to see. God says to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son. It says it three times in this text. Genesis 22, verse 12. The angel of the Lord says to Abraham, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. By the way, Abraham had another son, right? Ishmael. But this was the son that God intended for him to have. And this was the son that was going to fulfill the promises that in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. This was the son by whom way down the line the Lord Jesus Christ would come, that he would descend from the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he says, withhold thy son, thine only son. In verse 16, God promises, as he reiterates his promise to make Abraham a great nation, and that through him all the nations of the earth be blessed. He says, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Earlier I read a text in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. And it said this, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up, that is Abraham, he's that received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. That ought to ding, ding, ding. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So what God was asking Abraham to do was to take the son, the only son that he had, that the son that was the fulfillment of God's promises, and sacrifice his son, his only begotten son, as a burnt offering on an altar. But he was asking him to do something that God was going to do himself. God sent his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, become the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Look with me again at Genesis chapter 22, verse 4. This is the theological meaning throughout this text doesn't stop there. In chapter 22 and verse 4, it says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. It's interesting that he was told to sacrifice his son 3 days' journey. As the Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed on the cross, it was 3 days. Three nights before his resurrection. It's almost as if, in the text in Hebrews, it talks about Isaac was resurrected. He wasn't literally resurrected because he wasn't ever actually killed. He wasn't actually sacrificed. But the text in Hebrews 11, verse 17 and following talks about, in verse 19, I think, it says that he was resurrected, figuratively speaking. That Isaac was resurrected, figuratively speaking. It's as if he rose Isaac from the dead. And Jesus went to the cross and he was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I think there is significance there. Verse 6 in our text. It says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. Just as Isaac carried the wood for his own sacrifice, our Lord Jesus bore his cross. John chapter 19 and verse 17 says, and he, speaking of Jesus, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Verse 7 of Genesis 22 says, Isaac spake unto Abraham his son and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? In verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And God did. There was this ram in the thicket, and God provided the ram to be a substitute for Isaac. But way down the line, God provided himself a lamb as well. The Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. In John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day John, this is John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God will provide himself a lamb. I don't know what Abraham was thinking. Did Abraham think, I'm going to sacrifice my son and God raise him from the dead? That's what Hebrews indicates. Did Abraham think, well, maybe there'll be a ram in the thicket? I don't know if that's what Abraham thought. But Abraham did say God will provide himself a lamb, and God did provide himself a lamb, not just in that situation, not just in that instance, but God provided himself a lamb, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that takes away our sin. You see, God provides everything necessary to secure our salvation. We see that here in this story. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 9, it says, and they came to the place which God had told him of. So here's Abraham and Isaac come to this place, and they build this altar, and they laid the wood there together. Still no sacrifice. Think about this. Think about Isaac. What's going through Isaac's mind? As I mentioned, Abraham is how old? How old was Abraham when Isaac was born? 100. So Abraham now is well over 100. Isaac is probably at least a teenager. We know this because he carried the wood. We know this because can you imagine carrying wood for 3 days' journey, 50 miles? Well, actually, the servants probably helped until they got close. The point is this. Isaac allowed his father to bind him and put him on the altar and to raise that knife, ready to plunge that knife into his son. I imagine that Isaac would have been stronger, faster. If he wanted to get away, he could have gotten away. I would guess. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life willingly, giving himself as a sacrifice for our sin. In verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And this is the most beautiful part. Just as that ram was the sacrifice, it was the substitute for Isaac. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, became our substitute, dying on the cross as a sacrifice for our sin. You see, God provides everything necessary to secure our salvation. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 17, God comes back to his promise to Abraham. And he says that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, And as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. How are all the nations of the earth blessed? Through Abraham's seed, because of the Lord Jesus Christ that would come many years later. And Jesus was born in this earth. He lived a sinless life. He laid down his life as a sacrifice, a substitute for our sin, for you and me. And so because of that, when we come to him in faith, we can have forgiveness of sins and we can have salvation. And so Abraham, if you look back with me at verse 14, Abraham at the end of this incident where God commands him to take his son, the son that he had promised him, his only son, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. And God provided a lamb, a ram, in the stead of his son. And in verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Literally means God will provide. God will see to it. What God promises, he will do. What he says, he will provide for. And he will provide everything necessary to fulfill his promises. He will provide everything necessary to guide us through our trials. He will provide everything necessary to secure our salvation. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness.